You know, when I walked into the room and I said, wow, you guys are already excited, you know? You know, it's a good thing when you walk into a room or when you've been invited, you know, you feel good in you when you're invited. Like, people are already excited here in this place. You see, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, you know? That's one of the reasons I so love when I come to church, even in our campus every Sunday morning, that the excitement in the room is so important because the Holy Spirit loves when we all gather together. The Bible says, it says, when we gather together and we share with each other the love of Jesus, something really stirs up in our heart. You know, some of us have our bad days and some of us have our good days, right? We all go through that. Kind of, how many are with me on that? You know, we all, you know, but we need each other. We need each other, so we come to church. And when we come to church, you know, when I walked into the room, I said, man, these guys are already excited. It just got me going. I said, wow, Ramesh, look, your folks are already excited. You know, so I just want to say, bless you guys. You are an awesome, awesome crowd. And I can't thank Ramesh and Elsie. Ramesh and Elsie, we think we traveled a couple of times to India. And they are an awesome couple. And I really, really love them. Yeah, come on, amen, Elsie. You know, I really mean that. I think we've been known each other for close to, what, 10, 12 years now, 10, 11 years at least. We worked with each other in the operations before. This is exciting. I'm with me Rodrigo Carmona, one of our leadership team. And so, Rodrigo, come and say hello to our friends here.
Hello. We're just coming from the Mississauga campus. And I was in my mind thinking, okay, they're having the meeting here. There, we're having this meeting here. And I was watching the announcements, the Global Day of Prayer. So how many hundreds of millions of people are worshiping the Lord in this same moment, in this day? And we are just part of that huge, big, great family. And the Spirit of the Lord is God, and He's not limited. So if we are here, we are not in Mississauga or in the airport. If we are there, but the Spirit of the Lord can be in each other's heart and at the same time with all our brothers and sisters in any place in the world. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And I was thinking, I would like to pray for this beautiful, beautiful congregation with this beautiful spirit. And I want to challenge each one of us. Let's all pray for this congregation. And you know who we are praying when we pray for the congregation? For us, for the people. The church is the people. The church is the people related with God, in relationship with God, and in relationship with each other. Amen? So the Bible says, you don't have because you don't ask. So I take from there that we have always be in the presence of God, asking for what we want. So what will be nice to have now? I'd say more of the presence of God. Do you like that? Yeah. Let's all stand up and let's pray for more of the presence of God. If you want to hold hands, if you want to pray for the person that is on one side, on the other side, for all of us, let's pray that we will have more of the presence of God here now. It's not for today, for tomorrow. It's for today. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you one more time, Lord. You are here. You are moving. You love these people. We release your presence now. Power of your presence, Lord. Feel more, Lord. We want more. We want more. We want more, Lord. We want such a fullness, Lord, that your presence will be manifest and visible for anyone here, Lord. Change us, Lord. Move us, Lord. Empower us. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. Fire of God over this place, Lord. Fire of God over this place, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More. Oh, glory to God, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, and we want everything that you have in store for us. We open our minds, our hearts, and we receive everything you have to give us, Lord. Everything, Lord. Oh, bring joy, Lord. Bring faith, Lord. Bring power. Bring healing, Lord. Oh, build fullness, Lord, of your joy, of your presence. Oh, that your glory may be manifested in this place. Right here, right now, Lord. Right now, Lord. We receive it, Lord. We receive it, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. Let's clap for Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Rodrigo. Thank you. Come on. I love that when the fire shows up in this place, isn't it? You know, if you know, I didn't get a chance to tell you this, but Rodrigo has been with, he's from, originally from Argentina, and he spent, about 14, 15 years with the Anacondia. How many heard of Anacondia? Yeah, and Claudia Fraser, you know. He used to be a chaplain for them in the prison ministry there for many long, and so I'm absolutely delighted to have him with me this morning. You know, the message that I really want to share with you this morning is fire in my bones. You know, because, you know, the reason I wanted to, I already see you guys excited when I just said that. Come on. You know, the reason I wanted to share that, friends, is because every message of mine that the Lord has given me is out of my own experience, out of my own weakness of my heart, out of my own fears and failures of my life, that the Lord has brought me to these messages. And what happened was about a month or so ago, I was in this place in my life where I'm just feeling like I was getting this flashback about my 22 years of work for the corporate world. I used to be in a hotel industry before. And all these flashbacks is coming to me and saying, you know, Faustin, you had a great job. You were a manager of a hotel. You had a beautiful office. And by the way, I'm in a great hotel already here, you know. You know, and I'm like, oh, I had a beautiful office, and I had my car loan paid off. I had all these great things around me, and I had my clothes dry clean. I didn't have to worry about putting it into the washer and dryer. And I'm having all these good thoughts about my past job. And I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm having this feeling, what am I doing? Why am I like this? Why am I going? You know, how many have ever kind of had those thoughts, you know, I had this great job, and I had a great, what am I doing all this? And all of a sudden, I'm just been feeling in my heart. I said, yeah, that is right. I had such a good job, and I had all that stuff, and what am I doing here, you know, and this and that. And I said, Lord, why am I feeling this? Why am I really going through this? You know, I tell my campus, I'm a good complainer before the Lord. I complain to the Lord very quickly, you know. And I said, Lord, did you not see, did you not hear what I was in 22 years in the corporate world, and I did all these amazing things and all that, climbing this ladder of the corporate world, had this beautiful time traveling and this and that, and look where I am, whatnot, you know, kind of a thing. And the Lord led me to read the scripture. It's in Luke 22, verse 31. If it's possible to get those scriptures, brother, it's good. If not, try and kind of, I'm going to move a little quicker today. Perfect. I'm going to try and move a little quicker today because of time. Ramesh and Elsie just told me we have to kind of, you know, they have some other things happening up here. So if you're going to just walk with me really quick, and is that be all right with you guys? You know, I'll go quick. The Holy Spirit will go slow with you. All right? He can work with you at home, isn't he? He's good. Well, Luke 22, verse 31, this is where the Lord led me to read. And he said, son, why didn't you go and read about what did I tell Simon Peter? And it says in 31, it says, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when once you have turned again and strengthened your brothers. You know, this scripture like just came like a word that I needed to hear. And I said, Lord, what are you saying? I said, the enemy is doing a fantastic job trying to sift you, trying to move you for the purpose that I've called you for. You see, and if you go down to Amos 9:9, you'll read, it says, the Lord allows us to be sifted, the Lord allows us to get go through that little grinding moment But not a kernel of wheat will fall on the ground, which means he will not let me die. He will not let me lose what I've been called for. The enemy is trying to distract me. You know, he's trying to give me all this great picture about the corporate world. Thing, you know, did you realize you had the highest sales when you were in there, and you did all this great, you brought a lot of money, brought millions of dollars to this organization. Did you realize all this? And all of a sudden this Lord said, my son, but I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail you. How many ever... I'm losing here, okay. How many have ever, you know, we sometimes kind of go through that, and I was in that place. So this message actually birthed out of that, where God was trying to teach me, be careful, son, because if you go down on 22, from 31 on, you'd find Simon so easily says, you know, but God, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to go on the cross for you, and I'm going to do this for you, that for you. He was so confident about himself being with the Lord. He was so confident that I will never deny you. And the Lord says, you will deny me thrice, son. And you see, our giftings, our talents, and our ability to think that what you and I can do sometime withdraws us from the purpose that God has called you to. You know, sometimes we get so overconfident. We begin to say, I know I've done this before. I can do this again. You know, even preachers, pastors, we become sometimes overconfident thinking, I know where I'm going to go. And God had to really draw me back and say, my son, I'm praying for you that your faith may not fail you. You know, we need at this time, at this hour, at this season where the whole world is shaking and shifting and moving around, God is allowing us to be sifted at this point of our life. You may be having your own little trials. You may be having your own little tribulations. You may be having your own little tough moments in life. But I'm saying stand strong, be strong where you are, because the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to bring you up where I want you to grow. Are you guys with me on this so far? You know, the Holy Spirit is with us. He never, never let you fall on the ground and die. He will make sure that he will pick you up from where you are and he'll take you to the next level. You know, I was so encouraged right in the midst of all this. This was just around Good Friday service. Years we were kind of had this Good Friday night service, and Marina had all these beautiful goodies laid out. And all these desserts and all that was given out. And we were saying goodbye to the people. And honestly speaking, you know, I'm like, you know, just doing my very best before the people. And here's a couple walks that I knew them from Brampton campus, where Marina and I used to pastor along with Mel and Susan in 2008. And they walked up to us and said, hello, how are you, this and that, long story short. I said, hey, why don't you have some desserts? And he said, no, I'm not supposed to have that because I have a disease called celiac, if I'm saying that right. Celiac, that he can't eat any bread or something. And something rose within me. And I said, Lord, I want to pray for this man. And I felt something in my heart. I said, I need to pray. Now, here I am. Part of me is struggling. Part of me, I'm facing some things in my life. Part of me is like saying, you know, God, I don't feel like doing this and I don't feel like doing that. But something within me rose up. And I said, I must pray for you. And I said, Bruce, let's agree right now. Let's pray right now, I said. I caught his hand and I said, tell me what is wrong with you. And we walked through some forgiveness prayer. And I said, I laid my hand on his tummy. And I said, God, I break that virus or whatever that has been blocking him for the 17 years that he's been suffering through. Long story short, he got home and he went on to some retreat with the Brampton campus. And I didn't even know this man for a long time. Steve Long, our senior pastor, told me the other day when we were at the Hamilton campus, you prayed for this man, Bruce, and the man is completely healed. And on top of that, listen to this, on top of that, he's visiting the Cobb's Bread where he gets buying the best of the desserts because he's not been eating dessert for the last 17 years. The spirit within me rose up. I said, God, I will not fail you. I want to stand for your name. Just not long ago, Marina and I, we went to our basement, and I'm trying to find a book. And there was a prophetic word given to us by Ivan and Isabel Allam. I'm sure you had them here. And, you know, and I said, okay, let me listen to it. And everything she said, I'm on line, on track, what God is doing. This is 2004. I was not even a pastor back then. She said, do you know you're called to be a pastor? Do you know God has called you to do this and do that? Everything that I said. And it's also said over there, be careful. The enemy is trying to draw you back into the marketplace. And I said, oh, Lord, I don't want to. So I want to encourage you, my friends, that God has a purpose and a plan for you. Where you are in life today, you're on right on track. You know, if God's given you a prophetic word, if God prophetic words you got, go back to it and say, Lord, what are you saying? And you will be amazed. Let's turn to James, because that's another amazing scripture that has really blessed my heart. You know, everything that I'm giving you, my friends, you've got a great pastor by the way, Ramesh. I actually get some books out of him to learn about the Bible. So he can expand more after I'm gone. But but I love the scripture because James has really blessed me in the last few months when I was reading it. In James chapter 1, it says from verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete and lack in nothing. You see, when we go through tough times, when we're going through, oh, you have no idea, I'm going through a bad divorce. You have no idea, I'm going through financial trouble. You have no idea, my sons and daughters, you have no idea, I'm going through this. I'm telling you, when you're going through that, you say, consider it all joy. Say, God, I am going to go through this. I'm going to stand through this. I'm going to trust in your word, Lord. Your word never fails, Lord. Psalm 25, verse 3 says, he will never disappoint us when we trust in his word. When we begin to trust in his word, when we give wholly, solely, completely to him, God will never, never forsake you. And if you go down, it says over there, ask for wisdom. This is the season where we need to ask wisdom from God. It says right here, it says, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and he gives you generously. This is the season where we need to ask God for wisdom. For too long we have applied wisdom to education, wisdom to this, and wisdom to that, and wisdom to this. This is a season where we need to take the wisdom of God and say, God, give me the discernment so I am right on track where I need to be, Lord. Give me the wisdom so that I don't get drawn into the things that really looks very attractive. Krispy Kreme, that donut looks very attractive, but it's not good for me, so I'm going to go with old-fashioned donut. Something like that. That's a bad analogy. But you know, but what I'm trying to say is that be careful, be cautious, be attentive to God's word at this season of your time. God's shifting and sifting and doing things right now because he's about to bring us out. We are going to be that like that diamond. He's polishing us right now. We're going to shine out in a few years, my friends. Watch out. The glory of God is going to so shine out within you. I am telling you, I was just sharing with some brothers outside and I heard this before. You know, we need the holiness in the inside, not on the outside. In the inside. You know, when Jesus was with the crowd in the Garden of Gethsemane, the soldiers came to get him. They said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Among the crowd, they couldn't recognize who Jesus was. But when he said, I am, and they all fell out, the inside came on the outside. Then they recognized that is Jesus. And I am telling you, my friends, God's shaking you on the outside, but he's molding you and preparing you. He's making a conduit so that the glory of God can go through you. So when you begin to lay hands on the sick, when you go for your healing session with Ramesh and LTR organizing, you need to step out. We have a healing room that we do on every Friday night. We have some few ordinary people that they just come out. We had a lady with a hole in her heart from another church. She came in, and this lady, dear lady, if I mention her name, you won't know who she is. Susie Pereira, some of you would know. She laid hand on that lady's heart, and the hole in her heart was completely healed. Why? And if you ask me Susie's story, I know her story. She's going through some tough times in her life. But the glory of God that's in her shines out at the right moment. I want to encourage you. You and I not are called to be spectators at this season of our time. It is not for just the pastors to hold the microphone. It is you and I together. This is a season of faithless generation where we need to go and use the anointing that's been given to us. It has been entrusted to us. And what are we doing with it? Am I? Are you guys okay with me on this? Let's turn to Romans 5. Are you guys having fun? Lord, just stretch the time, Lord. Keep going. Yabba. I love that. Come on. I love that. Thank you. Romans 5. We're going to quickly go through some scriptures, friends. Romans 5, it says, I'm going to read from the Amplified. Romans 5 from 3 says, and not only this, but we must exult in our tribulation, knowing that the tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. And it says in the Amplified, which I did not read, I'm going to do it now. And it says, verse 4, and endurance develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. You see, tough times helps us to trust God more. You know, if you want to hear my and Marina's story, we've come through a very different lifestyle back home in India. And here we are, we're kind of sometimes wondering, oh Lord, what are we doing? But I have begun to recognize to the end of the road, God, where you're taking me. I am going through the tunnel. One door is closed. I'm on the doorway, but the other door is opening up. You see, maybe you're in your doorway of your life or wherever you are in life, but trust Him. His word is never fail. It'll never fail you. Okay, I don't have much time, so I'm going to quickly move through this, but I'll let you read it at home. It's in Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. Let's quickly turn to that, but I won't read the whole chapter. I mean, the whole passage. Ezekiel 37, you know the story. Ezekiel was brought into this valley of dry bones. You know the story? You know the story, right? Go home and read that. The Holy Spirit really... And by the way, every scripture that I'm giving to you, I am not a theologian. I'm a good waiter, you know. I wait on the Lord and ask Him what He wants to say. And then based on that, I'm just sharing to you this morning. But here I am, you know, and the Holy Spirit was sharing with me and He's saying, what did Ezekiel do? He prophesied. God told him to prophesy on these dry bones. Now, God brought him into a circumstances of the valley of dry bones. And He placed him there. And what did He do? He said, I have empowered you. Prophesy. I have empowered you. Speak to that right now. You see, you and I have been entrusted the Spirit of God. What do we do with it? We have been entrusted this Holy Spirit. Why do we go through some of the tough times in our life and say, oh God, oh God? Because the enemy does a good job trying to suppress us down. But let the Spirit of God arise within you. When you begin to say, oh God, I am not going to go through this. I am not going to take this. You know, I do this in my house. When all my children are gone, my wife is gone, I quickly send her for shopping or something on Saturday. I take some time alone and I look in the mirror and I take the scriptures and I read it to myself and I said, Faustin, you are not going to go down. You're going to go up. God is going to take you to the next level. I prepared you for a season. You need to prophesy over your life. When you begin to prophesy over your life, the Holy Spirit has given you that unction, has given you that fire within you. We need the fire in our bones. You know, here it is. It says, then He said to me, prophesy to the breath, verse 9. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe on these slain, and they come to life. In verse 11 it says, they complain. Then He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is perished. They gave up, but the Holy Spirit moved in Ezekiel. And He prophesied over them. And this is what the Lord said in verse 14. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. You see, when the Holy Spirit fills you with His Spirit, we become like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, I love their faith, man. They stood before that pit of fire and they were not shaken. They stood over there and said, we don't care if we have to deny your God, but we are not denying our God. We don't care even if our God doesn't come. We are going to go through the fire. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Come on, think of this. They were at the brink of falling into the pit of fire. It was blazing. It was hot. Think of this for a moment. Picture this. You're right in Iceland in the volcano. And you're right at the tip of it. You're about to go down into the volcano. Picture this. What they must have felt. Whatever trials you're going through. Whatever tribulations you're going through. Whatever tough times you're going through. Stand before it and prophesy. And say, God, I am going to go through it. I know my Lord will never fail me. Your word is with me, Lord. Your word never returns back to me, void, Lord. Because you will fulfill it for what you've sent me. Send it for, Lord. Speak the word into your spirit. Take the book of Isaiah 55. Speak it into your spirit. God, I am going to believe in your word. Your word will not return back void to you unless it has been fulfilled for the purpose it has been sent for. I'm telling you, my friends, we are in a season where God is about to shine us again and to prepare us again. You know, the Lord is anointing us. You know, this morning when I was in prayer, I felt like the Lord was saying, the word anoint, 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 anoint for this campus. Anointing, anoint, anoint. You know, and the three words that stood out before me for Ramesh and Elsie, I felt, is that they have been obedient to the word of God. They have been faithful to what is given them. And they have a great attitude. And God is going to see them come through. You know, because the anointing pays, it takes a price to hold on to the anointing. But I'm telling you, there's something about the anointing that has been entrusted to us. You do not want to take it lightly. So my alarm going off saying his time's up. So, okay, sorry, I'm almost done. Thanks, Ramesh. You know, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, these scriptures, why does God has given us this beautiful word of God? To help us be motivated, to help us to grow, to help us to live by His word. Not think what, you know, there's huge, if you watch CNN, every second is breaking news. Every second is breaking news. There is no good news out there. You turned, you know, they're now BBC, I watch my three favorite, is CNN is first to American glamorous entertainment news. Number two, BBC, which is more centralized in the Europe, so it gives me some good perspective about Europe. And of course, CBC, which is not Canada, which tells us about Canada. But every news you see, they copy each other. It's all breaking news. It's all breaking news. There's no good news there at all. What do you and I must do at this time of this hour, at this season? Let the word of God stand forth before you. Let the word of God. I'm encouraging you, friends, take time. If you're not giving time to yourself, take time, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour a day. Spend time in God's word. This is the season. This is going to shine out very soon in our life. This is a season when the world is experiencing everything upside down. This is going to come out of you. Because that word is in you. It's not just in the book. It's in you. I'm going to close with this. Exodus 3, verse 2 and 3. Now, you may look at this and you may have a totally a different perspective about it. But again, I'm going by what the Lord showed me. In Exodus 3, you read this amazing story where Moses goes up to the mountain. And it says here in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire. Yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why the bush is not burnt up. I want to challenge you, my friends. When you take time to read God's word, to meditate on God's word, and absolutely dwell in it, the Holy Spirit is going to so fill you with fire. That blazing fire is going to be in you. You know, that blazing fire is going to come out of you. But people around you are going to look at you and say, what's this about this person? He is going through hell, going through tough time. But there's not, the problem of this world is not consuming him. He's still on fire. And you will see people around you will turn and give their life to Jesus. Because that blazing fire that Moses saw, he turned around and he looked, what is that? That is, the tree is burning, but it's not consumed. It's the Holy Spirit in us. That Holy Spirit in us will begin to just flame out of you. Just ooze out of you, live out of you. And you may say, I'm going through the same problem what my neighbor's going through. I'm going through the same problem what somebody else is going through. But there's something different about this person. That this person is still standing strong because that blazing fire is not consumed within you. And when people around you look at you, they will turn around and say, I want to serve your God. I want to follow your God. I want to be, and you will bring Moses out like them. You will turn people into Moses because of who you are in your faith. Are you with me on this? Let's all stand. I'm sorry I had to kind of rush this, but I hope you got the message. You know, and you and I hope you can get, go online and go to the Scarborough Campus podcast and you can listen to it again. But I want to leave you with the scriptures from Psalm 15, and I want to read it over you. The Holy Spirit is not a wind, is not a dove. The Holy Spirit is a third in the Trinity. The same Holy Spirit, you probably heard this trillion times, has raised Jesus from the dead, but now lives in us. Put your hand on your heart and sense him and feel him. He's in you. Think of that. What a loving God we have that he's entrusted us with his Spirit. What a loving God we have. This Holy Spirit was in the sinless body of Jesus, is in you today. What a good God we have. He believes in you. He knows you. Psalm 139 says, prepared you. He knows everything about you. You are a chosen one. You're a royal priest. You are a righteous one. You're not a failure. You're not a mistake. God has a purpose. God wants to bring his kingdom through you. Not one of you in this room is ever a mistake, I want you to know. And if you're in this room tonight, this morning, and you're saying to yourself, I really do not know whether I'm really the anointed one. I do not know whether I'm really called to follow God's word. I do not know whether I fit into all this thing. There's one way that you will know him. That is Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, became a son of man. Became a man in the flesh so that you can be the sons and daughters of God. So if you're in this room and you've never, never, ever given your life to Jesus, you've never ever surrendered your life to Jesus. You never ever said, I am not faithfully following the Lord Jesus. Today is your appointment. Today is your day. Here is an invitation that's been extended to you this morning. Would you want to accept him as the Lord and Savior of your life? Take a moment and just give yourself an opportunity. Where am I in life? Maybe you come from a different background. Maybe you come from a different religion. Maybe you come from wherever you could be. But you cannot experience the fullness of your life without Jesus. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking you right now. If there is a person in this room or number of people in this room who's saying, I am not sure I know where I belong. I want to give you an opportunity. I want to pray with you this morning. And I want to lead you into a very simple prayer that will allow you to know that Jesus died on the cross for you alone, for your purpose, for you. What we could do, I don't want to single you out, but if you're in this room and if God is speaking to you, I want you to come and see Ramesh and Elsie. And just come and meet with them afterwards and say, I'm the one that Faustin talked about. I want you to pray with me. I want you to help me through this. And we'll be happy to pray for you. But for the rest of us, I want to say this. Psalm 15 says, how can I dwell in that holy place? How can I dwell in that secret place with Him? How can I be fully of God? How can I know that I am supposed to be in that holy place? As I said earlier, the holiness is on the inside, not on the outside. So I want to read this over you. And I get this word, anoint, anoint, anoint this morning. And if you're in this room where you're feeling like, I want that fire in my bones to be stirred up. I want that dryness to be dried up. I want my life to be transformed. I want the Holy Spirit, that I want to flame the fire within you this morning. Myself and Ramesh and Rod and all of us, we want to pray with you this morning. But let me read the scripture over you. It says Psalm 15.